From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And today we begin our program, as many of us begin our days, with delicious, nutritious eggs. A few years ago, America produced more than 113 billion eggs. That's billion with a B, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's such an incomprehensibly large number. But if you break that down into the standard supermarket dozen, it totals more than 28 dozen eggs for every person in this country. I don't know about you, but man, I love to start my day with eggs and bacon.
Just give me all the bacon and eggs you have. Wait, wait. I worry what you just heard was, give me a lot of bacon and eggs. What I said was, give me all the bacon and eggs you have. Do you understand?
Yes, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec, I do understand. But lately, our egg habit has been getting expensive. There's a shortage going on, and while the sky is not falling, last month, the benchmark commodity, Midwest large eggs, did hit a record high of $5.46 a dozen. That's according to Bloomberg. So what's going on with America's breakfast food? Why did prices spike? And are things getting better? Joining us now to talk about chickens and eggs is Sarah Nardi, agriculture and climate reporter for our home station, Illinois Public Media. Sarah, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks, Brian. I'm excited to be here. No, they're endless list of puns. So
winter chicken dinner. Also with us is our colleague Tanisha Spain. You know her as an occasional guest host of this very show, but she's also the host of Illinois Public Media's award-winning program, Mid-American Gardener. And more to the point in our conversation today, she is the mother of four backyard hens. Tanisha, welcome back to the 21st Show.
What an excellent introduction, Brian.
Oh, we're going to be groaning a lot this morning. Listeners, you can contribute your own egg puns or questions about eggs and backyard chickens or anything else we're talking about. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation. Maybe you have a great omelet recipe you want to share. We're open this morning. 800-222-9455 or send an email to talk@21stshow.org. talk@21stshow.org. All right, Sarah, I want to start with you. What is going on? What is the average price of eggs in Illinois right now?
I believe it was somewhere around $3.25 per carton. But that was last week, and you know, this is like a rapidly shifting situation. I do know that in some states, about a couple weeks ago, kind of right after Christmas, egg prices were up as much as 64%. That didn't happen in Illinois, but it did happen in other parts of the country, and it had people on social media really, really upset. And you can really kind of quickly go down a rabbit hole of TikToks and Instagram posts of people just freaking out over the price of eggs. And a lot of people pinned it on inflation, but that's not actually fully responsible for what's going on with the egg crisis.
All right. Well, what is going on then? That's a good segue.
It is. It's partly due to inflation because, you know, the cost of groceries across the board went up significantly. But when it comes to eggs, you can really trace it back to an outbreak of avian flu, which was first detected last year in February in Indiana. And unfortunately, it is a highly, highly contagious pathogen, and it spread really quickly throughout the country and ultimately took out tens of millions of laying hens. Some estimates put it around 44 million, some are higher. But it was really this flu that culled huge, huge flocks of birds, which led to less eggs, which led to higher prices.
Yeah, I remember that. We talked about it on the show. People were advised to take their bird feeders in if they had them out. What was the status of that in Illinois? Was it throughout the state?
It was. I mean, I don't think anyone was untouched by the bird flu, but what I was interested in was, were smaller farmers affected to the same degree as larger producers? And so I spoke to a few small farmers around central Illinois who said that they hadn't had any cases of the flu and had been really insulated from the effects so far. So their egg production, you know, was up and kicking, but they only have so many hens, so they only have so many eggs.
All right. Well, I want to bring Tanisha into the conversation now. Tanisha Spain, you sent us some audio of your own backyard chickens. Let's take a listen to that. Set the scene.
Come on, let's get some treats. Here you go.
All right. Thank you for the tape, Tanisha. Okay, I've only ever had dogs. We tried fish, RIP. How did you get into chickens?
You know, I really don't remember. I've always wanted to move into this sort of green, sustainable space. It kind of is my shtick, right, with Mid-American Gardener and everything. So that's kind of where it came from, and wanting to know a little bit more about where your food comes from and just appreciating things a little bit more. So it started out that way, and I think the biggest hurdle I had getting started was finding out if the community that you live in allows backyard chickens. That was an obstacle. In the first town that I lived in, it was a no. I think the biggest thing to consider is whether or not you will be fined from the city if you have chickens.
And so it was a no. So what did you, are you a scofflaw chicken raiser? What happened? How did you?
How we did ended you... up moving out into the county, okay. But
wow.
I put
for
together.
The chickens?
Well, I mean, they were factored into the equation.
Okay.
But I went before the city council. I did the whole thing and talked about the benefits. And I understand, you know, the dangers of having birds in town. It could get a little dicey because everyone's not going to be a responsible chicken owner, but so we moved out into the county and we were able to do some research. And there's a few things that go into it. You know, we're in zone 5B. So you've got to get some cold, hardy birds. You've got to figure out what kind of shelter you're going to have. Do you want, what color eggs do you want? There's just so much to consider in the world of chickens.
Zone 5B, help me out here.
That is our growing zone. So we've got true seasons and it's cold here. So you've got to get the big fluffy birds that, you know, can take a little bit of what Mother Nature can dish out.
None of those weak chickens they have down south.
Exactly.
You get
the little naked
the
ones, the little banties. No,
yeah.
we need, you got to get the big boys.
So you have to build a coop? What goes into actually starting this?
So I am one of those people that likes to repurpose whatever I have. I'm a junk farmer. I'm a junk gardener. My family sees me digging lunch meat containers out of the trash all the time to start seeds in. So our first coop was actually our St. Bernard's old doghouse, and we just built a run around it. My father-in-law built some nests in the back, and bada bing, bada boom, we were in business. Now I have sort of a fancy coop with a park and a run, and this one's kind of fancy. This is more like a duplex, if you will.
Fancy. Does it make for happier chickens?
It does. They've got heat in there. Their water's heated. Yeah, I think so. The audio clip, that was happy chicken sounds. You can tell when they're not real happy. So, if you provide them with plush accommodations, you're going to get more eggs. That's fact.
How many eggs do your chickens produce?
Everybody lays one a day. Sometimes you'll get an overachiever that will give you a morning egg and an afternoon egg. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get a double yolk, you know. It's always a surprise, but usually you get one a day. In the winter, they do lay a little bit less because they've got to use more of that energy to keep warm. But in the summertime, they're cranking them out every day. And each person at my house has a dedicated bird. I don't eat eggs. I cook with them, which is another hilarious part. Like, I don't eat eggs, but the chickens are my friends, so it works out.
Interesting. Like a corn farmer who doesn't eat corn.
Exactly.
All right. Let me take a moment to remind listeners this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about eggs and the big price spike we saw last month in December, although it is seeming to be coming down now. We're talking about this with Tanisha Spain, who is, you know her as the host of Mid-American Gardener, and also she is the mother of four backyard hens. And Sarah Nardi, we're also speaking with agriculture and climate reporter for our home station, Illinois Public Media. And 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation. Tanisha, were you worried about the avian flu? What sort of precautions did you take or are you taking?
So I did take my feeders down when those instructions came down. And then just doing other things, like I've got some feeders that outside birds can't get to. So they're covered and the chickens have to stick their heads inside this little feeder to eat. So the food's not exposed because there is some risk with cross-contamination there. So I also have, I'm telling you, these birds are spoiled. They have a shade tarp on top of the coop. So we don't have a lot of wild birds getting in to visit as well. So yeah, I mean, you have to, you know, a couple precautions, but we didn't have any trouble. Everyone was healthy, and we're still doing all right.
So you mentioned wild birds. Sarah, can you talk about that? How does avian flu spread? Is it wild birds are a key factor here, I gather?
They are. Wild birds are a key factor for someone who has free-range hens who are allowed to forage. Like one of the farmers I spoke to, that's one of those factors that it's really hard to control because you want your hens to have the access to that kind of environment. But with wild birds coming in and out, carrying, you know, all sorts of pathogens and germs and whatever else little birdies carry on their bodies in, you are definitely opening yourself up to risk. But the farmers that I spoke to haven't detected any within their flocks. And that's another advantage of being outside of the city limits and kind of isolated, is that you're able to insulate your birds to a greater degree than, say, farmers who are working on large, large lots. Because what people don't seem to understand about avian flu, and I learned this for the first time in doing this reporting, was that 44 million birds, or whatever the number is, haven't died directly as a result of becoming infected with avian flu. If just one bird within your flock is sick, the entire flock has to be culled, and culled, depopulated, killed, all euphemisms for unfortunately having to put the birds down, because that's how contagious this flu is. So as a precautionary measure, one hen is sick, all of them unfortunately have to be killed. And that even stands for neighboring farms. If your neighbor, who's a certain distance away, has avian flu within their flock, then unfortunately your flock has to be killed as well.
Wow. Is there resistance to that among farmers that you've encountered?
I mean, if there is, I haven't heard it. It seems to be just kind of an accepted precautionary measure. You know, in terms of biosecurity, it's just what you have to do.
Interesting. You know, we got a text from Anne in East Peoria who said, considering the cruelty in egg production, the rampant use of antibiotics, the pollution produced, the biodiversity lost from the land used for feed, it would be a net gain if we all stop eating eggs. There is no nutritional need and replacements are abundant. I got to say, that would be a tall order for me. I was a little flip earlier with the Parks and Rec clip and Ron Swanson, but I do really enjoy eggs. Tanisha, you said you don't eat eggs, though.
I do not.
Talk more about that.
I'm the only person in our house who doesn't eat eggs. But, you know, my family does, my boys especially. That's a staple at our house in the mornings as well. So I don't know. There definitely is an argument for that, but like you said, there's going to definitely be people who they are going to eat their eggs every morning, rain or shine.
I mean, I have heard this argument that if you look at just sort of like animal cruelty, the number of chickens that are, you know, the way they're treated in a lot of this, the more factory farms, not in your backyard, of course, Tanisha, but that this is, you know, there is just a tremendous amount of suffering, animal suffering happening with eggs. But Sarah, I don't know. I guess the farmers you're speaking to, that's probably not their chief concern.
No, and I think that probably to that point, they would say that smaller production is the antidote to a problem like that. Because when you only have a certain number of hens or of any animals, you're able to take better care of them. You're able to monitor their health. You're able to give them better working conditions and living conditions. I guess they're working where they live, the hens, through no choice of their own. But I mean, I think Tanisha can probably testify that. She obviously loves her chickens, and the farmers I spoke to seem to have a great deal of care for them, too. So like anything else, you know, if you extrapolate it out to such a large degree that you're talking about factory farming and mass production, yeah, conditions deteriorate pretty quickly. But that's not the case for these small farms.
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, Tanisha, say more about, so I mean, you mentioned a park. I mean, has the sort of plushness of your flock's life increased over time?
Well, this is my second flock. My first flock I got, like in the intro you mentioned, about 8 years ago. And my last chicken from that flock just passed away in the fall. So my birds were 8 years old. And that's a long end of a life for a chicken. But that just goes to show, again, when you've got a small, controlled situation where you can make sure that they're getting proper food, proper ventilation, they're foraging, they're, you know, you're being mindful of things like the avian flu when it happens, you can just control so much more of the health and what you're feeding and how you're feeding. I've seen large-scale operations, and it's true. I mean, it's, you know, it's not cozy and it's not ideal. And the smell is outrageous. And, you know, that affects the chicken's health as well, which then affects egg production. Like, it's absolutely true that the bigger you get on in terms of scale, you're going to see some of the quality of life issues creep in.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. If you want to join us, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Are you feeling the pinch in eggs? Maybe you're pulling back on your egg spending, finding substitutes for breakfast, as Anne suggested from East Peoria in her text message there. Let us know, 800-222-9455. More with my Illinois Public Media colleagues, Tanisha Spain and Sarah Nardi, when we return. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. It's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about eggs and the shortage that's happened, more acute in some parts of the country, a little less acute in others. But we did see prices spike in December, $5.46 a dozen for the benchmark commodity Midwest large eggs. That was according to Bloomberg. A little less in Illinois at the grocery store, although that can vary a lot, right? If you're getting the ultra free range happy eggs, you're going to pay a lot more than just getting the sort of store brand little medium plain eggs. We're talking about all this with Sarah Nardi, who's agriculture and climate reporter at our home station, Illinois Public Media, and Tanisha Spain, who you know her as an occasional guest host of this program and the host of Illinois Public Media's Mid-American Gardener. She also has four egg-laying hens in her backyard, one for every member of her household. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. And let's talk a little bit more for people who might be interested in getting into raising chickens in their own backyard. And Sarah, you shared some audio from your reporting. This is Penny Joya, who operates the Joy of Illinois Farm. This is what she had to say about those who might be interested in getting hens later this year.
I've had three calls and sold out any extra hens that I had. So I won't have any. And I can already see that we're going to have a ton of calls for, do you have hens in the spring? And those people are going to be way behind.
So how about it, sir? Is it going to be more difficult to start a backyard chicken farm this year?
I mean, I don't know how easy it would be under normal circumstances. Penny said that, you know, people really trying to circumvent the system, you know, like, well, I'm going to get my own hens. And she said it's, you know, it's quite a bit of work to get your own hens. And it might not be, you know, such an easy hack to just get that started. But she did say that, yeah, she's had a run on hens and people are coming from, you know, a couple hours away to get their own laying hens. But like anything else, there's been a rush and now demand has outstripped supply and there's just not going to be any hens. So I think if you're looking to start your own backyard coop, you gotta get going. The earlier, the better on that.
There.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I have a source that I buy locally and online, and I was checking the prices today just out of curiosity, and a bird that, you know, a couple of years ago was $3 is about $12 today. There are a couple runs that are already sold out that will be shipping in March that you can't get your hands on. So the ones that I was looking at, you could get a few hens in April, but they're already sold out like that far back. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, there are some stores that you can walk into like Tractor Supply and other places locally where you can go in and get a chicken for $2. Really curious to see what that's going to look like this year.
Tanisha, this is not something to be taken lightly, right? I mean, there's a lot of work involved in this.
There is. There's a lot of work. It's with any pet. You know, you've got to be able to buy the feed. And if they get sick, you know, you have to consider what are you going to do there. The list of farm vets is short. So there are a lot of things to consider. And again, how much space do you have? What do you want out of these chickens? Are you going to raise them for eggs? Are you going to raise them for meat? So there's maintenance. There's a little shoveling involved, if you will. Mm-hmm. But again, I like that closed system in that, you know, chicken droppings play really well in the garden. So you're cleaning one place and dumping it on another to grow food. And so it can work, you know, if that's the lifestyle that you would like to cultivate, it can work. But yes, there is some work that has to be done there. My chickens are not 100% free range because we live on a couple acres of land and we've had issues with foxes and skunks and things like that. So you do have to make time for them. You know, I call it their yard time, scheduling time around the dogs for the chickens to run around and play in the yard. So I don't want to make it sound like they're no work, but they are low maintenance compared to other, you know, barnyard animals that you might have.
Oh, my goodness. Tanisha Spain, pioneer woman. Let's go to the phones at 800-222-9455. Sonia is on line 4 from Bloomington. Sonia, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I have two questions. One is, do eggs that you just find and cook fairly immediately, how different do they taste from the eggs that I buy 12 in a case? That's the first question. But the second question is one that really intrigued me. I have a friend who buys eggs directly from a person who has chickens, and one time she was visiting, and it looked like there was a hen who was leading the other chickens out and around her, and she swears they ask her, "Who are you? Who are you?" And she answered who she was, and the lead chicken nodded, turned around, and the rest of the chickens followed her. So is there a social structure? So
that's, yes. That's yes, there is. So I'll tackle the second question first. There is definitely a social structure. Red was my leading lady for the longest time. She ate first. She approached treats first. I would cut a watermelon in half and open it. And everybody knew that Red got the first, you know, right off the top. But anytime I take lettuce or something out there, the lead hen is the boss. And she will peck the other girls and let them know. But if they find a frog or a worm, she's going to get it, even if she didn't find it. So there's definitely a social order, and hens are so nosy. They will come up to the front yard if we've got the trash being picked up or a delivery of some sort. They just want to know who's there. They're very social birds, especially if you interact with them a lot. I will never do it, but I have like a little ridiculously embarrassing call that I do for them, and they run to me for treats. So yeah, they definitely have a social structure. On the taste, I don't eat them personally, but my son can tell the difference in a big way. He's a big egg person. And so if he eats eggs at a restaurant, he'll go, "These are not farm fresh," right? Because he knows the deal now. But the color is more rich. The flavor is supposedly more rich. So yeah, there is a difference between, and that's just freshness. That has nothing to do, I mean, the bird, yes, it does have something to do with that. But you figure that egg had to be laid, washed, packed, shipped, you know, sit in a cooler and then move to the shelf, and then you bought it and took it home. So I think that is just a matter of how long it gets to be before it's on your plate.
I'm going to 100% agree with that, Tanisha, in terms of the taste. We have, on my wife's side, there's some family that has a small farm, I think in the Peoria area. And we occasionally, you know, at the holidays, we'll get some eggs from them. And they are just so, the yolk is like this mm-hmm. deeper, almost an amber color.
Yes.
And they're just so much better tasting. I almost can't eat, like, you go to a hotel, you know, breakfast buffet, and they've got those sad little eggs there. I almost can't really eat them.
Yeah. Once you go fresh, it's hard to go back.
Yeah. We also got a question via text message, no name attached to this, but it says, how has the problem of avian flu compounded over time, and what are expectations for the future Additionally, do they let any of the chickens live and then breed from them to breed for resistance? Sarah, I don't know if you can tackle either of those.
I haven't heard anything about breeding for resistance. I mean, again, I think because of how contagious the pathogen is, that the wisdom is just to cull immediately to try to stem the spread. And avian flu, I don't know the history of it. I do know that it's certainly something that crops up fairly regularly. And, you know, a lot of smaller farmers will make the point that the more decentralized our food system is, the more insulated we are from these kinds of issues. But of course, you know, as spread continues and as we get closer to one another, you know, as chickens and human beings, as we saw during COVID, viruses spread. And, you know, yeah, when it comes to the chicken, I don't think there's any easy answer about how to stop it.
Sarah, I think we're coming to the end of our time together. How are grocery stores or I don't know, farmers markets, or what are they doing to keep this egg shortage at bay?
Well, I spoke to Sarah Buckland, who works with Common Ground Food Co-op in Urbana. And she said that when things like this crop up, you know, during COVID, we saw a lot of disruptions to the supply chain and certain items were harder to find, not toilet paper, more food items. And she said that they were insulated from that precisely because they work with smaller farmers who are locally based. So that co-op has had no issues with egg supplies. They are swimming in eggs, she says, although they've seen quite a few first-time customers coming in. She thinks they are looking for eggs because they're becoming harder to find at the supermarket. But she said, and you know, when things get tough, turning to local farmers seems to be a really good strategy because they just keep coming through.
All right. Well, I want to thank Tanisha Spain and Sarah Nardi. Thank you so much for being with us to talk about your reporting and your backyard chickens today. What fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chicken or the egg? Which come first, the chicken or the egg? How could something so fat and furry come from something so smooth and pearly? Which come first, the chicken or the egg?